Since the early days of the internet, there have been plenty of places for online discussions, conversations, and the exchange of ideas. Although, as anyone who's ever visited the comments section of their favorite news website knows, things can get ugly and in some cases turning to threats and harassment.
Many sites have tried to create community management policies and moderation, but there have been some places that have been relatively hands-off.
The website Reddit has long been considered one of those places, but last week the site's leadership announced that a handful of the site's worst offenders, forums devoted to racism, transphobia, and fat shaming, were being banned.
Reddit not alone in those efforts. Social network Twitter, another place where almost anything had gone, is also taking new steps to counter bullying and trolling, enabling users to share lists of accounts that they've blocked with other people. So why are we seeing these sites take action now, especially after years of a hands-off approach? Will it actually work in cracking down on online harassment, a problem that seems to have gotten worse in recent years?
Joining us now is Anne-Marie Dooling. She's head of growth at Vocative. She's also a former community strategist for Salon, Yahoo, and The Huffington Post. Anne-Marie, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's start specifically looking at Reddit. Now, for people who might not be familiar, this is basically a big collection of forums, thousands of forums called subreddits for all kinds of interest groups. What happened on Reddit recently with the new bans?
Well, Reddit went bonkers, for lack of better terminology. So you're absolutely right that Reddit is actually a platform. I think a lot of people make the mistake of calling it a community, which would imply that it's one large group of people. But it's actually just like a blogging platform where you have many different groups using the platform for their own groups and their own interests. And I guess that when there's any platform where you can use it for your own interest, there are always going to be people who use it for things that are not fantastic. So Reddit has been largely hands-off since their creation, allowing people to moderate their own groups and to sort of figure things out among themselves. And recently they decided to be a little more hands-on and take action and get rid of and ban some of these subreddits that were not in the public's interest. So now they have a lot of users that are getting really angry at them, wondering if their subreddits are going to be next, wondering where the line is going to be drawn in regards to what's going to be deleted. And honestly, these subreddits that they're banning are just popping right back up with the same groups of people, because if you go ahead and delete whole groups like that, you sort of give them a common enemy and you give them something to work towards.
What exactly has Reddit said that it's banning? It says it's not really banning the ideas or the discussion. So what is Reddit banning?
So Reddit is just getting rid of the subreddits themselves that lead to these specific groups. And I know there was one in particular on fat shaming. And that was a horrible group where people would get together to post pictures of large people, obese people, overeaters, and that I think is a really good example of sort of a hate group and something that Reddit doesn't want to associate itself with. I mean, when you think about Reddit's growth, they have so many users, but what they really want is to be more of a content platform. So, you know, recently they've just hired a lot of people to deal with the news media, to deal with video production, and it just looks really bad for them to have subreddits that are actual hate groups and have actual hate speech. So they're banning these groups, and I mean, obviously they can't moderate morals. If someone's going to think this way, they're going to think about it with Reddit or not with Reddit, but they delete the entire subreddit, and then obviously the groups of people are communicating elsewhere through DMs because they're not getting deleted, their personal accounts, and they're just creating these subreddits right over again.
Now, there was hate speech involved. Sounds like there was also doxing, the practice of sharing someone's personal information online. There was also threats. Is that the more tangible part of what Reddit was objecting to, things like that?
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that everyone really has to deal with, whether you're Reddit or, you know, news comments or even other communities and forums. Doxing is one of those things that everyone needs to be careful for. When you have online communities, you're going to have some degree of hate speech because, like I said, you cannot moderate someone's morals. And I think that largely communities moderate themselves, and the degree of incivility really has to do with what the topic is and what the larger community allows. So when you have these online communities that don't moderate or don't delete this kind of speech, it just sort of snowballs from there and keeps going. But with something like doxing, where you're giving out someone's personal information, there are liabilities with things like that. So obviously, from, you know, Reddit to news communities, you have to grab that stuff fast. And that's why a lot of people pre-moderate, and they'll pre-moderate for specific terminology like email, the end of email addresses, or names, or, you know, if a big topic is coming up, or a person has been attacked on their platform, they'll even do searches for that just to make sure that people aren't doxing those specific people.
And sites like Reddit, they are walking that line between protecting users and preserving free speech. Is there an easy way to do that, or is it always going to be a difficult act to pull off that's going to alienate some people?
There's really no such thing as freedom of speech when you're dealing with a private community. I think that's something that a lot of users don't understand. Even, you know, from my perspective, moderating news communities for 10 years, we constantly have people who will say they're being censored or we're taking away their freedom of speech. But when you own a private community, that just doesn't exist, because it's not public interest. It's, you know, it's a private community in a private area to moderate as we please. But I think Reddit actually has done a really fantastic job, and they're maybe one of the only communities that we can say has allowed people to continue with their own interests while sort of still keeping an eye out. Because the actual Reddit moderation team, as far as the last time I checked, was really small. And that's the administrators. And then you have the moderators that are self-selecting and self-creating these own subreddits, and they're doing most of the work, and those are the users themselves. So Reddit, in being largely hands-off and allowing the anonymity to continue through these names and these pseudonyms, has really given people a long leash to explore their own interests. And they've really only stepped in a few times. One notable one that I can think of is when the celebrity pics were out and people were sharing the celebrity pics of Jennifer Lawrence and the like. And that's one time when they really stepped forward. But largely, Reddit has been completely hands-off, and I don't think that users could have asked for more than that.
We're talking right now to Anne-Marie Dooling, Evocative.com, talking about how some internet communities, social websites, Twitter and Reddit, are trying to crack down on harassment, and there's been a backlash among people who use those sites. I'm wondering about why this is happening now. Is there a growing sense in the digital world, a growing volume of users, a sense that it doesn't always work to be so hands-off anymore?
Yeah, it really doesn't. And I've worked at communities that have started by not moderating, and I've worked at communities that take the Reddit approach to letting other people moderate. And then I've worked at places that pre-moderate, which means that every comment goes through an administrator before it goes out into the public. And we have a lot of problems on our hands with this sort of thing. I think we just don't live in a time anymore where people associate their offline actions with their online actions. Largely, we try to mimic communities to what we think people do offline, but we now know that the actions people take online are a completely different set of social norms. So when we're trying to create these communities to say, well, someone, you know, wouldn't do that on the street, maybe they won't do it online, it's just not the case anymore. We're just not dealing with that. So it really, you know, we've come to a point where people are saying, how are we acting online? How can we protect other people, which has become something that is really big, not just protecting other users, but when you're talking about news and media sites, I mean, no one wants to work for a site that allows their writers to be attacked. So for news and media, one of the largest problems is, how do we let people have an engaged conversation and protect our writers at the same time? And that's really where we start to see different creative options come in. From someone like Twitter that has just created a shared block list. So if you and I are harassed by the same type of person, and I've created this fantastic block list of all the people who are attacking me for a specific reason, I can just send it to you, and it can mimic that block list for you so you don't have to deal with those people. Or, you know, other sites are just completely turning off comments and closing the conversation altogether, which is unfortunate. But if you can't moderate, then you shouldn't have that dialogue.
Do you think there's also a sense that what happens online doesn't necessarily stay online? If you think about some of the real-world ramifications of scandals like Gamergate, where people felt threatened, had to leave their homes, is there a sense that there's a bleed over between the two, real life and online life?
There is, but, you know, we're dealing with situations where people don't really understand the ramifications of what they're doing online. It's really easy to say, I'm going to make fun of this person. And, I mean, I think we've all at some point been part of internet mob. In fact, I know that, you know, there was this story this week where everyone was sort of piling on top of this gentleman who made some pretty sexist remarks about female scientists. And it's very easy to have that gut reaction to say, he's completely wrong. Let's just attack him for this. But we're all part of that internet mob. And then the funny thing is that we turn around when we are in the situation of being attacked and say, well, this is wrong. Why are people attacking me? So it's something that, you know, when you're a community manager, you try to be conscious of, and you try to make your users aware that we all do it at some point. So for a lot of people, we go to the word troll, right? So we like to say that someone that attacks us online is a troll. And that's just not the real use case of the word, because then we sort of have this picture in our head of a caricature of either, you know, the guy sitting in his dark basement or his mom's basement, and that's just not what it is anymore. We've all been a part of the mob that has attacked someone online. So putting together an idea of how we act online is sort of the first step, and then it's something that I think will just come with time.
We're talking right now with an internet communities expert, Anne-Marie Dooling from Vocative.com, about how social websites like Twitter and Reddit are trying to crack down on harassment and how these sites walk a line between protecting users and protecting and preserving free speech.
You could join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Do you think social websites or places with an online forum or comments page have an obligation to crack down on harassing or threatening comments? Or would you like to see a hands-off approach? Let choosers use what they read, what they post, and ignore what they want to ignore. Have you been deterred from using certain internet sites or social networks because of harassment or negative attitudes there, or maybe policies you thought were unfair? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking about online harassment and what social websites are doing about it now. Anne-Marie Dooling is our guest. She's head of growth at Vocative.com and has served as community strategist for Salon, Yahoo, and the Huffington Post.
And we'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think needs to be done about online threats and harassment? Do sites have an obligation to crack down on the worst offenders, even at the risk of limiting what people could say on their sites? If you've been harassed online, targeted maybe, how do you feel about all of this? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post at the Central Time Facebook page.
And we're going to start by reading a comment from Peter on Facebook who says, advocates use the word harassment to describe speech they don't like and free speech to describe speech they do like, and use this rhetoric to silence disagreement. There are honest-to-goodness people in this world who use the word hate to describe disagreement. People don't realize that whatever mechanisms Reddit and Twitter put into place to stop speech they don't like will also be used to stop speech they do like. Are you okay with banning neo-Nazis if it also means that your side of the abortion debate, whatever side that is also banned? Some big questions there. What do you make of that comment, Anne-Marie?
I think that's a pretty classic argument for people who are, probably engaging in quite a bit of harassment themselves, and B, terrified that their free speech is going to be taken away. And I think that's a perfectly logical fear to have, especially when you invest so much time in getting your thoughts and messages across on a platform that you don't own. However, there is a super clear line, especially to those of us who work in community management and in these forums, on what is harassment and what is not harassment. And that line is usually drawn at personal attacks. So there's something very different in having a forum that is just making fun of someone and then having a forum that, you know, attacks someone, whether that's a specific group of people or a specific person. And I know when we moderate online comments, like I just mentioned, if there is someone who is critical of a writer will tend to leave that, even though the writer might not be super excited to read that. But if someone has a direct attack, such as wishing harm upon someone or saying they're going to go to their house or giving out their information, that's something that shouldn't be there. That's something that would constitute harassment, and that's the kind of thing that should be banned or deleted. And it's really for everyone's own betterment online. And the funny thing is that when you have a lot of these people that are crying out for freedom of speech, or they don't want any of these forums taken down, and then you turn the tables and give out their information, suddenly it makes a lot more sense, and then, you know, they're upset that this has happened to them.
Now, a lot of sites have moved to comment sections that require Facebook verification, meaning that your real name has to be accompanied by your comment, not a screen name. What do you think of that approach?
I think it's hysterical because Facebook comments, as anyone who has spent time on a Facebook page knows, are the absolute worst. I've never seen worse, more threatening, less thought out, more generally awful comments than on Facebook pages. And this is coming from someone who has both had to moderate them and just seen them on people's pages. I mean, it really is startling the things people will say and do when they are in an avatar holding their baby or hugging their grandma, or, you know, one minute they're putting up a statement about their religion and then the next they're blatantly attacking someone and cursing like a sailor. So we can use Facebook as a pretty clear example that taking away anonymity does not make conversation more civil. In fact, when you do that, you actually remove the protection from people who want to have a more serious conversation, people who are trying to talk about abuse they went through, or someone who is just coming out in the gay and lesbian or transgendered communities. You're really stripping those people of their protections as well. So I'm definitely a big advocate personally for anonymity and pseudo-anonymity, and I think looking at Facebook, we can make a pretty clear judgment that taking that away doesn't help at all.
Anne-Marie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Anne-Marie Dooling. She's head of growth at Vocative.com and a former community strategist for Salon, Yahoo, and the Huffington Post. She joined us to talk about how social websites are cracking down on harassment.